Hello, and welcome to another episode. This week, as you can probably see, we're going to be doing, a man called Commodore Nutt. I know nothing about this man, but again, it's one of the, it's a very highly recommended Wikipedia page, and I guess we're going to find out why. I guess we're going to learn from scratch, well, I am at least, who this person is and why they are famous enough to have a Wikipedia page. I can see a picture of the, I think it's a man, looking very small, smaller than a chair. I think that may have something to do with his fame. Well, anyway, let's have a look. Let's get started. Commodore Nutt. Commodore Nutt, April 1st, 1848 to May 25th, 1881, was an American entertainer. He was born George Washington Morrison Nutt. That's N-U-T-T, by the way. In New Hampshire, he was very short. In 1861, he was touring New England with a circus when P.T. Barnum hired him to appear at the American Museum in New York City. Barnum gave Nutt the stage name Commodore Nutt, a wardrobe that included naval uniforms and a miniature carriage in the shape of an English walnut. Nutt became one of the museum's major attractions. Nutt was in love with Lavinia Warren, another little person at the American Museum. Lavinia was several years older than Nutt. She thought of him only as a nice little boy. This, in some ways, made Nutt depressed later on in life. Oh, that's a shame. She married General Tom Thumb in a spectacular wedding masterminded by Barnum in 1863. Nutt went to the wedding as Thumb's best man. He stayed away from women for a long time after the wedding. In 1879, he married Lillian Elston of Redwood City, California. Nutt toured the world between 1869 and 1872 with the Thumbs and Lavinia's sister, Minnie Warren. They returned to America rich after performing before royalty. Nutt left Barnum's employ after a disagreement with the showman. He toured with a comic opera company, put together a variety show on the United States West Coast, and operated saloons in Oregon and California. He returned to New York City, and died there of Bright's disease in May 1881. Don't know what Bright's disease. Bright's disease is a historical classification of kidney diseases that are now called acute or chronic nephritis. Yeah. Kidney disease. Okay. Birth and family. George Washington Morrison Nutt was born in Manchester, New Hampshire, to Major Rodnia Nutt and his wife Maria Dodge Nutt, 1807 to 1859. Sorry, Rodnia Nutt was 1810 to 1875. Nutt of Goffstown, New Hampshire. Rodnia Nutt was a rich farmer, a Manchester City Marshal, and a Manchester City Councilman. The Nutts had five children. The first, whose name and sex are not known, was born on 8th of December 1837. James Dodge was born on 28th of January 1938, and Rodnia Jr. on 11th of October 1840. A daughter, Mary Ann, was born on 22nd of September 1844. According to Nutt family records, George Washington Morrison was born on 1st of April 1848. Nutt and his wife were large, hearty folk. Mr. Nutt weighed over 250 pounds, or 110 kilograms. Their sons Rod Jr. and George Washington Morrison were little people. In 1861, Rod Jr. was about 49 inches, 120 centimeters tall, and George was about 29 inches, 74 centimeters. George weighed about 25 pounds, 11 kilograms. Well, ancestry. George's ancestors include William Nutt, 1698 to 1751, a weaver of English ancestry. William left Londonderry, Ulster, Northern Ireland, for North America in the early 18th century. He started a family in colonial New England. A part of Manchester was called Nutfield in the early days of settlement. A pond and road near the pond were named for early Nutt settlers. P.T. Barnum and the American Museum. Nutt's career as an entertainer may have started in 1854. He may have been a performer with a small circus in Manchester. The circus manager, William C. Walker, once wrote that he discovered Nutt. He also wrote that he was the first to show him. Nutt was being exhibited and touring the New England countryside with a manager named Lily when P.T. Barnum learned of him. Lily was charging as little as a nickel to see the boy whose education had been neglected. Barnum was disgusted. Lily knew nothing about exhibiting the boy in the proper style, as Barnum put it. In the proper style? What does that mean? Barnum met Nutt in 1861 when the boy went to the American Museum in New York City. In his autobiography, Barnum wrote that Nutt was a most remarkable dwarf who was a sharp, intelligent little fellow with a deal of drollery and wit. He had a splendid head, was perfectly formed, and was very attractive, and in short, for a showman, was a perfect treasure. Barnum knew Nutt could be a major museum attraction. He hired a lawyer to lure Nutt away from his manager, following Barnum's orders. The lawyer offered Nutt's parents a large sum of money to sign their son to a 5-year contract. He promised them that the boy would be taught to be a genteel, accomplished, attractive little man. A contract was signed on the 12th of December 1861. Barnum hired the 13-year-old, 29-inch George, and his 21-year-old, 29-inch brother, Rodney Jr. The contract required Barnum to give both young men food, clothing, a place to live, and the cost of travel and medical care. Barnum promised to take care of the moral and academic education of the brothers. Salaries would start at $12 per week with increases every year. The two brothers would each get $30 per week in the fifth and last year of their contract. They would also get 10% from the sales of their souvenir books and photographs, with at least $240 the first year and $440 the last year. At the end of the fifth year, they would receive a carriage and a pair of ponies from Barnum. It's crazy what used to constitute a contract. Publicity campaign. Once the contract was signed, Barnum started a publicity campaign to prepare the public for Nutt's debut. He let reporters think he was trying to hire the little person. When other showmen heard this rumor, they rushed in to offer Nutt's parents huge sums of money to be the first to sign their son. Barnum was pleased. Well, The publicity created much excitement. In a letter he leaked to reporters, he wrote that he was forced to outbid the competition. The showman claimed to have paid $30,000 to hire the little person. The boy then became known as the $30,000 Nut. Barnum gave the little person the stage name Commodore Nut. In addition, he provided Nut with a wardrobe that included miniature naval uniforms. For the Commodore's jaunts about town, the showman had a little carriage built for him. The carriage looked like an English walnut. The top of the vehicle was hinged. When the top was lifted, the little Commodore could be seen sitting inside. Nut's carriage was pulled by Shetland ponies. It was driven around New York by Rodney Jr., dressed in the uniform of a coachman. Barnum thought these little trips about the town the best form of advertisement. Nut's carriage is now in the Barnum Museum in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Commodore Nut made his debut at Barnum's American Museum in February 1862. He was a great success. Some museum goers believed they were being humbugged by Barnum, though. They thought that Nut was really General Tom Thumb in disguise. Nut did look like the Tom Thumb of the past, but Thumb had aged and put on weight over the years, a fact museum goers either forgot or ignored. Nut was a scamp. He took pleasure in the public's confusion and encouraged the error. When Nut debuted, Thumb was touring the American South and West. Barnum wanted to silence those with doubts at the museum. He asked Thumb to cut his tour short, return to New York, and perform on the same stage with Nut. Thumb returned to New York. Wow, that's, look at that power. Just, yeah, cut your tour short. Just come back over and do a show just to prove a point. The little men were billed as the two Dromios, and the two smallest men and greatest curiosities living. The exhibit opened on 11th of August 1862. Despite what their eyes witnessed, some museum goers still said that Nut was Tom Thumb in disguise. Barnum wrote, "It is very amusing to see how people will sometimes deceive themselves by being too incredulous." About 2 months after his debut, Nut met the New York City Police Department officers. He applied for and was given a policeman's job. He ordered a uniform. Then he sent a telegram to the officers at the 9th Precinct telling them that he had just gotten a job on the Broadway squad with extraordinary powers to arrest people outside the museum and take them upstairs. Don't know what that means, but President Lincoln. President Abraham Lincoln asked Barnum and Nut to come to the White House in November 1862. When the two arrived, Lincoln left a cabinet meeting to welcome them. Nut asked Salmon P. Chase, the Secretary of the Treasury, if he was the man who was spending so much of Uncle Sam's money. Edwin M. Stanton, Secretary of War, interrupted to say that he was the man. "Well," said Nut, "it is in a good cause anyhow, and I guess it will come out all right." As Barnum and Nut were on their way out, President Lincoln shook Nut's hand. He told the Commodore that he should wade ashore if his fleet was ever in danger. Nut looked up and down Lincoln's long legs. "I guess, Mr. President," he said, "you could do better than I could." Witty. Relationships. Lavinia Warren. Mercy Lavinia Warren Bump was a little person who taught school in her hometown of Marlborough, Massachusetts. She was traveling on a showboat museum in the Midwest. However, when Barnum learned of her, he hired her in 1862. Her name was shortened to Lavinia Warren. She first appeared in the museum in 1863. Warren was 21 years old, 32 inches tall, and weighed 29 pounds. Barnum billed her as the Queen of Beauty. Nutt developed an adolescent crush on her, but Nutt would be disappointed. Barnum gave Lavinia a diamond and an emerald ring. It did not fit her finger properly, so he told her to give the nut. So he told her to give the ring to Nutt as a token of her friendship. Nutt regarded the ring as a token of her love instead. He fell more in love with her than ever. Lavinia was uncomfortable with his attentions. She thought of herself as She thought of herself as quite a woman, but regarded Nutt as just a nice little boy. Thumb was not appearing in New York City when Lavinia was hired, but he met her when he visited the museum in the autumn of 1862. He told Barnum the same day that he had fallen in love with her. Thumb wanted Barnum on his side in this love affair, rather than on Nutt's side. So he quietly promised Barnum he would marry Lavinia in a public ceremony. Barnum knew at once that such a spectacle would make him a fortune. He told Lavinia to take Thumb's romantic interests seriously. He reminded her that the little man was rich. Thumb's rival. Nutt knew that Thumb was in love with Lavinia. He was jealous. He had a fight with Thumb in a dressing room at the museum. He threw him on the floor and beat him up. Nutt invited himself along with Lavinia when asked to Barnum's home for a weekend visit. Little did he know that Thumb and his mother would be there too. Nutt left New York City on a train late Saturday night. He got to Barnum's house about 11 p.m. He found Thumb and Lavinia alone in the downstairs parlor. Thumb had proposed and Lavinia had accepted. Nutt only learned of their engagement a week later when Lavinia and Barnum told him. Nutt had a hard time forgiving both Thumb and Barnum for, as he termed it, this dastardly offense. Preparations. Lavinia's younger sister, Minnie, was much smaller than she was. Barnum thought she would make a good match for Nutt. He asked Nutt to think about marrying Minnie. Nutt told Barnum he had little faith in women. He said that he would not marry the best woman living. Barnum wanted Minnie and Nutt to go to the wedding as Lavinia and Thumb's bridesmaid and best man. Nutt refused. Later, Thumb himself asked Nutt to be his best man. Nutt accepted. He told Barnum, "It was not your business to ask me. When the proper person invited me, I consented." Barnum's Fairy Wedding. Thumb and Lavinia were married at Grace Episcopal Church, New York City, on Tuesday, the 10th of February, 1863. Nutt and Minnie were best man and bridesmaid at the fairy wedding. Police stopped traffic as people gathered in the streets to see the arrival of the wedding party. The wedding was planned to start at noon, but it did not start until the bride got to the church at 12:30 p.m. Barnum led the wedding party down the center aisle. 2,000 people were invited to the wedding. Miss John Jacob Astor, Mrs. William H. Vanderbilt, Miss Horace Greeley, and General Ambrose Burnside were there. members of the church complained about the marriage of mountebanks. They became angry when they were told they could not sit in their own pews. Much of the public curiosity about the marriage was based on an interest in the sexual mechanics of Thumb and Lavinia. Barnum did not encourage or discourage this interest. The wedding reception was held in the Metropolitan Hotel on Broadway at 3 p.m. The four little members of the wedding party stood on top of a grand piano so they could be seen by everyone. Nutt gave Lavinia a diamond ring as a wedding present. Americans loved the wedding. It was a welcome relief from the horrors and sorrow of the war. I bet. World tour and aftermath. People around the world took great interest in the wedding. Barnum thought this was a chance to make a lot of money. He sent the members of the wedding party on long, successful tours of America and Europe. The four little persons were sent off again, this time on a grand tour of the world as the Tom Thumb Company. Four little ones left the United States on the 21st of June, 1869. They traveled 60,000 miles around the world, visited 587 cities and towns, and gave 1,471 performances of songs, speeches, and military drills. Oh yeah, I guess they were a Commodore and Major Tom Thumb, or whatever he was called. They returned to America in 1872. Nutt and Barnum argued after the tour. Nutt quit. He joined Harry Deacon's Lilliputian Comic Opera Company. The company toured around America in an operetta called Jack the Giant Killer. Nutt and his brother Rodney put together a variety show. It played in Portland, Oregon. It was not a success. Nutt went to San Francisco, California, and put together another show. He tired of the life within a year and quit. Another show he put together about this time was not successful either. Nutt ran a couple of saloons in Oregon and San Francisco, but these were not successes. Saloons? Is this the Wild West? Last years. Newspapers reported at least four times that Nutt and Minnie were married. They were close friends, but never husband and wife. Minnie married a song and dance man who performed on roller skates named Edward Newell. She died while having his baby in 1878. One day long after the wedding? What? Maybe just edit that to one day after the wedding. One day long after the wedding of the Thumbs, Barnum asked Nutt why he had not married. "Sir, my fruit is plucked," he said. "I have concluded not to marry until I'm 30. His bride's height was of no concern. He said, but he did prefer marrying a good green country girl to everyone else. In 1869, Nutt married Miss Lillian Elston of Redwood City, California. He had met her while he was touring the American West. She was a bit shorter than most women, but not a little person. After his failures on the West Coast, Nutt went back to New York City. He bought a saloon. One day, he was caught selling liquor without a license. The New York City courts closed his saloon. Nutt was in charge of an amusement area called Rockaway Pier for a time. He returned to performing with an act called Tally Ho. Death. Early in 1881, Nutt had an attack of Bright's disease, nephritis. He was sick for more than 2 months. He died on the 25th of May, 1881, at the Anthony House in New York City. Nutt's wife cried over his coffin at the funeral. She called him her dear little boy and said that he was so good. Nutt was buried in Merrill Cemetery at Manchester, New Hampshire. Nutt had grown from his original 29 to 43 inches, 74 to 109 centimetres, and weighed a little less than 70 pounds, or 32 kilograms, at his death. In 1891, the editors of Appleton's Cyclopedia wrote, "Commodore Nutt was distinguished for large-hearted virtues that are often lacking in bigger men. His genial temper was allied to constancy and generosity that entitle his memory to the highest respect." The editors noted that Nutt was for many years faithful to an early love. And that's it. Quite a sad story, but very interesting, and I like this guy. I wish I could have met him, because then I could say I'm famous. I'm friends with a celebrity. Cool. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it too. Thanks for the people who wrote this. You're fantastic, as always. And thanks for listening. I hope you have a lovely day. Bye.